Hi, and welcome to the Writing and Marketing Show, brought to you by author Wendy H. Jones. This show does exactly what it says on the tin. It's jam-packed with interviews, advice, hints, tips, and news to help you with the business of writing. It's all wrapped up in one lively podcast, so it's time to get on with the show. And welcome to episode 59 of the Writing and Marketing Show with author-entrepreneur Wendy H. Jones. Today I've got a cracking show with you. We're going to be taking a look at audiobooks from all angles, and that's with David White, who's a media expert from Murfreesboro in Tennessee. And I know for a fact that Murfreesboro is actually near Nashville because I went to a conference there a couple of years ago and did an event. So, hey, it's a small world, isn't it? But I'm looking forward to speaking to David because audiobooks are something which are becoming more and more and more popular. So what's been happening in my world? Well, the most exciting thing is that on Saturday I will be speaking at the Suffolk Mystery Writers Festival. Now, for all of my listeners in Britain, I need to tell you that it's Suffolk, Virginia in the United States, not Suffolk in England, because that's where we immediately spring to. Now, I'm not travelling. I wish I was going on a plane there, but I'm not because we're all in lockdown. So we're doing the panel online, and I'm very excited to actually be on the panel with Katrina McPherson, Marnie Graff, and I've completely forgotten the other lady's name, Sarah, I'll put it in the show notes, apologies to Sarah, but your book is brilliant. I've just finished reading your book and it's absolutely brilliant, Sarah. So you're a superb writer, and I'm sorry I've forgotten your surname. I'm very much looking forward to it. You can sign up free at Suffolk Mystery Writers Festival, and you can actually join us for some sessions which are pre-recorded and some which are live. And it starts at 9 a.m. on Saturday. That's Saturday the... Saturday the... 6th of March 2021, if you're listening to this in the future. Heavens, I'm tongue-tied today. That's 9 a.m. East Coast time. So for my listeners in the United Kingdom, that is 2 p.m. our time, and I'm on at 10 a.m. But I've signed up for all the panels because I cannot wait. Even though it's going to take me late into the night in the UK, I'm going to listen to all these panels because they're going to be amazing. So if you like a nice mystery book, that's a place to be at this weekend. Before we go on to speak to David, just say, if you like this show, I love doing it for you. It does take time out of my writing, but I do it with pleasure. If you would like to support that time, you can do so for just the price of a cup of tea or coffee a month, which is $3 a month, and I would be eternally grateful. And it will let me know that you're enjoying what I'm doing. And I've been doing it for over a year now, so I'm definitely enjoying it. So what of David? Because we're here to hear him and to hear him speak about audiobook production. So David White is a media professional with more than 25 years of experience. He's a storyteller and believes people best remember experiences that move them emotionally. To that end, he has focused his craft toward becoming an instructional creative, motivating and educating both his clients and their audience. He loves solving problems. It's how he shines. Throughout the problem-solving process, he enjoys helping people see ways to both improve themselves and help others by passing on new knowledge or awareness. David has been married to his lovely wife for nearly 30 years. Together, they have a son and a daughter and three beautiful grandchildren, and he's still in his 40s, or at least until June, he says. He graduated from Middle Tennessee State University with a degree in the recording industry and mass communications. He began his professional career as a videographer, editor, and AV jack of all trades, and has proceeded to hone his craft while adding new skills in e-learning development and podcast production. Another area he is continually working to improve is commercial voiceover and audiobook narration and production. So the perfect person to chat to today. So without further ado, let's get on with the show and hear from the lovely David. And I have David with us. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Wendy. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners.
Oh, no, it's absolutely brilliant to have you join us here in Scotland. And I believe you're from Murfreesboro in Tennessee.
That is correct.
Wow. Well, I know Murfreesboro. And to be honest, you're the second person I've met from there just accidentally. I met somebody in Dublin that was from there.
Oh, wow.
And that was before I went. And they said, oh, I live in Tennessee. I said, oh, I'm going there soon. I'm going to Murfreesboro. And she said, that's where I'm from. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So we met up. We met
We're about 100,000 people, I think, give or take, here in Tennessee. But geographic center of the state. We're proud of that.
Geographic center of the state. Well, I can say I've been in the geographic center of Tennessee, which was great because I was doing an event at a conference there and I really enjoyed myself. Everybody made me very welcome. So I like people from Murfreesboro.
Well, great. Maybe I'll try to keep that rolling.
Fantastic. Now, today, I know everybody's going to be excited to actually get started with the interview because it's all about doing audiobooks, from book to audiobook. So just to get us started, I'm sure we all know what an audiobook is, but just in case there's someone listening who isn't aware of exactly what it is, what exactly would you consider to be an audiobook?
The simple answer is taking your book, recording it, and making it available through an audible source, a source you can hear. Audible happens to be one of the main sources as a company. And they can be different things, though. We just finished a project for a Canadian author. He has a Holocaust story of his father. We took interviews that were done on Canadian television of his father and inserted his voice along with the narrator's voice, telling his story of his experiences during the war.
Wow, that is fascinating. I'm glad I asked that question because I was one of these people that thought, oh, well, it's just you would do a book and it's in audio form. But you're right, you can do different things and, you know, make it more interesting. So I'm fascinated by that.
Sure. There are considerations and we can talk about those, but there's, yeah, you can be a little flexible with what you do.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I'm curious. To be honest, I'm going to be honest and say I'm one of these people that hasn't yet got an audiobook out, and I am considering it. But why should authors be considering audiobooks alongside their hard copies and ebooks?
I think the simple answer to that is mobility. The feel of paper, the feel of that hardback book or that paperback book is something that people cherish. But people are maybe not so much right now during coronavirus, but once, you know, but people still do things around the house. People still do walking around the neighborhood, whatever it might be. It's very difficult to hold a book in front of your face and not run into a street lamp. So the audiobook aspect just gives you that mobility, the ability to listen to and from as you travel to your job or whatever it might be, working in the yard. That flexibility, I think, is the number one key on top of the outside reasoning of there are people who won't buy your book in print. They only enjoy listening to audiobooks. So you open up another opportunity to make that sale.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of people are busy, but they can listen to audiobooks while they're busy. So they can multitask. Now that's a really good way of looking at it because, you know, if you are doing the housework, you can listen. If you're walking around the neighborhood, you can listen. Or you're out for a run, you can listen.
Right. It's not so easy when you're hoovering, but maybe that's not the time to do it.
Gets a bit loud, doesn't it? You can bump the volume up. You might deafen yourself, but you can bump the volume up.
Exactly.
So, to be honest, when I think about audiobooks, I always think you need a lot of expensive equipment. So what exactly do you need when it comes to narrating audiobooks?
The place I would start is to decide how you want that experience to happen for the listener. So for example, your murder mysteries, for example, they are generally set in a location, and your characters have a background and a lifestyle and an experience. So the question is, do you want that to be true to life, or do you want that to just kind of be spoken out loud? This is all leading up to, do you want to pay someone to do it, or do you want to do it yourself?
Yeah.
The equipment that you would need to do it if you did it yourself is simply a quality microphone and your copy, connecting your microphone to your computer and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's so much harder. When people ask me, people tell me I have a great voice and that I should do voiceover or record audiobooks. I say, that is lovely. You should consider that. The beginnings to do that is pick up any book that you want, your favorite book, take it into your walk-in closet or an area that's nice and quiet, and stand and read it for 2 hours. Do that for a week and let me know if you still want to do this.
Yeah.
because it is a major commitment to do an audiobook, and I'm not trying to scare anyone off of it. It's just like sitting down and trying to decide to write the book. You won't put that much time into it, but you'll put a considerable amount of time recording that book and editing it and mastering it and getting it ready to deliver.
Yeah. I mean, even doing this podcast, and that's audio, it takes a while because you then have to edit it. It's not as simple as just asking the questions and speaking. And it's the same if you're doing a book, I'm sure. You know, you probably clear your throat and all of that has to be, you know, taken out.
Well, it depends on how you are recording, your inflection, what you want to hit in that sentence. You know, what is the key word? Where is the highlight of that sentence or that paragraph? Those types of things. You can hear it in your head when you read it, but then making that come out your mouth is sometimes different.
Yeah, and I agree totally. I mean, if you read a chapter out of your book at a book signing, it's totally different to doing the whole book. It can mm-hmm. be really wearing on your voice.
mm-hmm. And it is acting. It is acting. Narrators, professional narrators, go through training and they get experience. Just like, you know, working with a writing coach like you, you work with a vocal coach and you learn how to hit certain things. For instance, a word, a sentence that has kind of a parentheses or a kind of a comma separated afterthought, you can really drop down and talk about it like this, and then you come back to your normal voice and finish the sentence. So wow. There's techniques in there that, and again, these are all learnable. I didn't know anything about this before I started, besides, you know, reading to my children or doing minor amount of public speaking that I've done.
Yeah. Well, you've convinced me I need to bring out audiobooks. So what's my first step?
Well, the first step is to, again, determine if you want to do it or if you want someone else to do it. Determine if it's fiction, for instance. Do you want a full cast of characters, meaning one person that can do all the voices, or do you want an ensemble cast? Sometimes, you know, dual POV, which is, you know, that's a term I'm sure everybody understands in your podcasting, but yes. Dual point of view. But you want that male voice and that female voice to merge together into your audiobook files. Once you've kind of determined how you want that, again, you're thinking of the experience of the listener. And I would start there. The next step would be to, if you want, I would find someone that can help guide you through it and direct you as you record. Again, with not a lot of experience, you won't know what you don't know. So you may not make the right decisions based on phrasing or speaking or whatever in those regards. And then if you turn it over to a professional, then you also have to be comfortable. It's like handing it to your editor. You have to be comfortable with their changes and their interpretation to some degree, because it is a creative work.
No, they're good points, actually. Yes, you need to feel comfortable working with anyone. It's the same with anything. You need a comfortable working relationship, you know, and to be confident that they're going to do a good job for you. So, no, they're all really good points, I have to say. My next question is probably a huge one. But what exactly is involved in producing an audiobook?
Well, I'm going to talk about it from a you've hired a narrator standpoint.
Okay.
The first step, the easiest way to do this is to coordinate with, the easiest way is to coordinate with Amazon in a program called ACX. It's the Audiobook Creation Exchange, ACX.com in the United States. Not exactly sure what the UK option is, but it's probably .co. But that is a place where you can, and there's some other details about getting in the book onto Amazon and things like that. Many of your authors probably already have their books there. So that makes it simpler. But once you're there, then you put your book on there with a portion, kind of the key portion that you want to be able to hear that narrator present. And then that is their audition. And you will begin receiving auditions. You choose the person that you like, make the arrangements, and then they begin the recording process. And that should take, you know, roughly a month is, you know, about the right time, depending on how long the book is. Number one thing to remember in audiobooks and vocal, it's not page numbers, it's not chapters, it's not page size or anything like that. It's word count. Word count is how you come up with your price. So the average ballpark, it's about 9,400, but we always just say 10,000 words is an hour of spoken audio.
Yeah.
So that is your measurement. So if your book is obviously 100,000 words, it's a 10-hour book. Just factor it like that. As far as what the person recording the book, the effort that will go into that, it is a somewhere between a 5-to-1 to an 8-to-1 ratio of time. So 8 hours, up to 8 hours of work can go into producing 1 hour of your audiobook.
My goodness.
Because there's the recording process, and that's probably some of the shortest time. Then there is the editing process and the mastering process. So then uploading the files to ACX in each chapter and format and things like that. Now, the better ones obviously can do it in the 5-hour time frame, but that's the kind of effort that you're paying for, whatever it is. As far as paying, the breakout, there are three options through ACX. And of course, you can make any arrangement with anybody if you can figure that out. But with ACX, you have three options. First is what is called royalty share. As the author, you receive 40% of the sale, you know, the sale of the book. When you do a royalty share with your narrator, that is split. So you get 20% and then the narrator will get 20% for the 7 years that it's dedicated to exclusively on Amazon or Audible. There's royalty share plus, in which you give them that same arrangement, plus you pay them an additional amount of per finished hour, PFH, per finished hour rate. And then there is straight PFH, or per finished hour. For instance, my current rate is $300 US PFH. So if it's a 10-hour book, that's $3,000.
Yeah.
After that, the book is basically finished and it's uploaded to ACX in its individual chapters with opening and closings and any other additional chapter information that you want, acknowledgements or whatever. And then it goes through their approval process. And then all of a sudden it's available online.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is really detailed. So thank you. That's been really helpful. But I want to take it a step further.
Okay.
I just want to say, you know, you've said that we can either narrate our own audiobook or hire a professional narrator. And what are the pros and cons of each of these options?
I think the number one pro of hiring a narrator is you're hiring someone that's experienced and has done it before. They may not be as intimate with, you know, your work of art as you are, but if it's written well, then they catch on pretty quick to the key things. And that's also a conversation that you can have directly with them if you choose to sell the idea of, okay, this character, this is his background, this is her background, this is whatever, and you can bring them into that world. The other thing I would say, as far as a narrator, I'm sorry, the author doing it, would be, again, they know their content, but they may not have experience in the recording booth, and it could take much longer than the 8-to-1. So yeah. That's the consideration. I would highly recommend trying it. I would try it by yourself. Then I would try, you know, a chapter or so. Try a chapter by yourself. Try a chapter with someone who you believe can do a good job of directing you, because you have to be listening. We go back to the equipment. What do you need? You need the microphone, but you need a good pair of headphones so you can hear what your mouth is doing. All these little weird sounds they're called glottal stops and clicks and things like that that your mouth can make. You need to be able to hear that. And that's that's a learned process, but it's not easy to focus on the book and then also be listening to your voice at the same time. So it's nice to have that director there to say, okay, your voice did something weird there. Let's go back. Or you didn't seem to end that sentence on the right inflection. Let's go back and do that sentence.
Yeah. Now they're really good points, really. But I know that, again, you've recently started a program where you train authors to narrate their own audiobooks, which I think is amazing. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Absolutely. I work with a company here in the States called Twin Flames Studios. TwinFlamesStudios.com is where you can find them. What they do is we have engineers that will sit on the other end of a digital line with the author live. And they, number one, they'll work with the author on understanding how it all works and some just kind of do some basic training. And then we take them into, we'll have them buy some equipment. We recommend some equipment. Then we have them go into and create a booth, as it were, not necessarily a true booth, but here in the States, we have much, much larger closets than you may have in the UK. But we have, anyway, a place that you can set up as your recording space or studio, whatever you want to call it, that would allow us a very quiet environment. And then they sit with you on the phone. You can hear them in the headphones while you record, and they can give you that direction and instruction from thousands of miles away.
Hey, that's really good idea, actually. I like the sound of that. You know, it's a bit of a partnership, really.
It is. Yeah. It's not inexpensive. I mean, it's probably cheaper to just hire a narrator. But if you believe that your voice is the voice to carry your story, then it's well worth it. Again, you have to think, writing the book may not have cost anything but your time and the purchase of a laptop to write it down on, or a piece of paper, or a notebook of paper to write it down on. But it's going to cost some money, and anything that you want done well is going to take a little bit of expense in that regard, especially when you're, you know, bringing anybody else in to help you with it. one day we'll have a society where we all just do things for free for everybody else, but we're not there yet.
But we all like eating. That's the problem.
We do. We enjoy our food. And unfortunately, the people who, my father asked me, a man asked me one time, are you motivated by money? And I said, no, I'm motivated by spending time with my family and doing a good job at what I do. And my father replied, you messed up. He said, you should have said, I am not motivated by money, but the people I owe money to are.
Yes, precisely. While we're talking about money, I mean, I know we've said that there are costs involved in hiring a narrator and things. Are there any other costs involved in bringing out an audiobook?
I think once you've committed to the idea of buying the equipment to record the book, and or paying a narrator to handle that portion for you, that's a good chunk of the expense. But then after that, obviously it's narration. I don't think you really, you know, and promotion, however that looks for you. If that's a Facebook, or whatever, that's what it's going to cost. Outside of doing that, unless you do a royalty share, then you're splitting that royalty. So it's not that you're paying money. It's just, you're not getting as much money when the book sells. And that's a risk. And of course, writing the book was a risk to start with. So it's just a matter of how risk averse you may be.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask another question just about technique. Once you've got the files and things, how does one go about getting the audiobooks onto different platforms? Because you've mentioned Amazon ACX, but there are other platforms as well.
Right. I'm not as familiar with the options in Europe right now, but in the United States, we have an organization called Find a Way Books, and they are a major distributor of other platforms. They can function as just like ACX does. They can help you find that coordination with your narrator or producer. There are many, many platforms. However, I will say that I believe it's 80%, 60 to 80%, I think is the current number. I know that's a big spread, is of all audiobooks sold are on Amazon/Audible.
Right. So I'm intrigued. Does Find a Way Voices put your book on Amazon as well, or does that not happen?
I think they can. I don't.
Audible.
There is a to get the highest royalty on Amazon, you have to go exclusive, and that is a fairly long term. Experience, but with Find a Way, you have more outlets, so you're getting a lower percentage on Amazon, but you're gaining those other audiences. We have an author here in the Nashville area who has a brilliant story, but of his life. And he does not care about selling it so much. He just wants to be able to get it into people's hands. He is a laser eye surgeon, by trade. And he just wants to get the story to people. So we are, while we used ACX for the platform and to find the narrators, we're distributing in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, that's clarified things, so thank you. Now, I'm going to go completely off-piste here because I'm absolutely intrigued that you have a collection of vintage belt buckles, and you're the first person I've ever heard say that. So I've got to ask, why vintage belt buckles?
Well, you know, you have to identify yourself out in public, and I've never really collected anything, and this only started about 4 years ago. But some people have their crazy socks, some people have their cool shoelaces, some people have their purse collection or hat collection or whatever it might be. But I chose belt buckles. I am a child of the 70s, and that big belt buckles in the United States was a big thing. And so I'm looking always for the 90s and older. They weren't they didn't make many in the 90s, but a classic arrangement of it's amazing how many you can find on eBay for $4, you know, and it's, wow. It's some are more expensive, but there's thousands and thousands out there.
Well, I'm, you know, I've never given it a thought before. I'm going to look up eBay in the UK and see if we do this. See if it's a thing here as well.
I would love to. So if you're out there and listening and you have some old vintage belt buckles that you would like to give away instead of send them to the tip, feel free to send those to me here in the States.
That sounds fantastic. So it's been lovely chatting to you, but all interviews come to an end, as they say. And my final question, where can my listeners find you online? Where can they find out about you and your work?
Pretty much everything about me is David White Voice. So that's my Instagram. That's my Facebook. That is my website. So david@davidwhitevoice.com is my email address, and I'm happy to answer questions. I enjoy talking about this topic. Other things that I do is voiceover and just e-learning narration, online training, and things like that. So happy to talk with people about those as well. But audiobooks, I really enjoy talking about audiobooks and helping people take their voice that they've transferred to a piece of paper back to a voice that can go right into somebody's ears.
Brilliant. And I believe that you're setting up an audio arm as well. Is that right? Not audio, a European arm as well. Is that right?
That is correct. Twin Flame Studios is working on a European arm. That is correct. Justin Grant is going to be setting up shop. He's from the States, but he currently lives in Edinburgh and he's working on his visas, so we can set up that program there and help European authors directly through the programs over there.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Well, thank you very much, David. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and we've got so much information to help us.
Great. I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners, and thank you so much.
No, it really is a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me.
Absolutely.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. That brings us to the end of another show. It was really good to have you on the show with me today. I'm Wendy H. Jones, and you can find me at wendyhjones.com. You can also find me on Patreon, where you can support me for as little as $3 a month, which is less than the price of a tea or coffee. You go to patreon.com/WendyHJones. I'm also Wendy H. Jones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you found it both useful and interesting. Join me next week when I will have another cracking guest for you. Until then, have a good week and keep writing, keep reading, and keep learning.